Hello and welcome to the Whitaker Report podcast. I'm your host, Dean Whitaker, and today we have with us two very special guests who are helping reshape the future of economic development through the power of artificial intelligence. Joining me are Eric and Ashley Canada of Blaine Canada AI. Many of you know Eric as a pioneer in using technology and economic development for over 30 years. Now together with Ashley, who brings two decades of expertise in sales and marketing, they've reimagined Blaine Canada Limited into Blaine Canada AI, a firm dedicated to a practical use of artificial intelligence and automation in business development. In our conversation, we'll talk about the evolution of business retention and expansion, the role of AI in shaping the profession, and what the future may hold for communities navigating this technological shift. Eric and Ashley bring both wisdom and fresh perspectives, and I think you'll find their insight both timely and thought-provoking. Please join me welcoming Eric and Ashley Canada to the Whitaker Report podcast.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very, very much, Dean. It's an honor to be invited to be on your podcast.
Well, thank you. By the way, you're episode 30, just to know. I've been leading up to this particular podcast. I've practiced 29 times to get here.
Practice makes perfect, I'm told. Yes.
I don't know. I think it just, as long as you can learn from your mistakes, you're doing well.
Yeah.
So really the purpose of our podcast is talk about the future, and particularly the future of economic development is kind of where I've been focusing our theme of our podcasts. And along those lines, you're obviously playing right into the future. In fact, you're leading the future. And you've long known for business retention and expansion that with your synchronous software, you kind of led the charge on using technology and economic development. How did that foundation lead you to Blaine Canada AI?
That's a great question. And we really stumbled into technology back in the day when we were doing business retention. That was never a goal of the company. We tried to solve a problem, which was how do you get better information when you spend time with an executive? And as soon as we solved that problem, we realized we created a different problem. And that was how do you capture and organize the information that you're getting during this conversation with an executive. And that turned into technology. Using technology at the time, it allowed us to create databases that allowed us then basically to store and organize that information. And it started from a simple database and moved through all the different stages, eventually becoming a software as a service program. After it's what now is, it had a 22-year run before we shut it down, 3 years ago, I guess. So it was a great experience. It was a great effort. I have never been the technologist. We have, and Blaine Canada AI is following the same pattern. We work with people who are very skilled at technology, and we provide the intellectual understanding of what the problem is and how to address it. So that's what we've done with business retention over these years. And we did a lot of training in that area. So the software prepared us to get into AI because it's just a continuing evolution of the technology that's continuing to change. And as I got into it, I kept seeing parallels to economic development and how it could solve problems in that area. And I wanted to share some of that back with my peers in the profession.
I understand. It gives you a lot of perspective having approached it that way. And I think that's pretty cool. Where do you see economic development headed, and how does AI fit into that future of economic development?
This is an opportunity for economic developers, for everybody in general. There's a literacy gap right now. There's the people who understand AI is a big thing. There's this tidal wave coming. We need to understand, we need to learn. And then there's the people who are, maybe they don't realize yet, or maybe they're just overwhelmed and paralyzed by where do I start? But there's an opportunity here to, for economic developers, especially those who close the literacy gap, those who take advantage and leverage AI, quicker, they are going to have the bigger opportunities.
What issues do you see them facing? What kind of problems are they running into as they try to think about AI?
The vast majority, and this is not unique to economic developers, this is everybody, every business owner, every person, every founder. It doesn't matter who you are, everybody is dealing with the same thing. And it's the overwhelm of where do I start? And everybody is thinking, we're hearing from a lot of people, okay, what tools do I need to learn? Where do I need to start? They're thinking the tools are the right place to start. But the place to start is with your workflows. Where are the bottlenecks? Where are the challenges? Those are the places that we need to look at first. That's where the biggest opportunity is for AI.
Yeah, you probably know him, Dean, but there's a guy by the name of Dean Carlson down in Texas who's an economic developer, and he's been putting a lot of time into a site selection application using AI capabilities. And it's a great way of rethinking that whole site selection application process. And we started out to do, I think you and I talked about it, we started out to do a project on how to use artificial intelligence to create a response to an inquiry for a site selection. And we got a little bit down the road on that, and actually since done some work on in the area of proposal generation and how you respond, use existing data to respond to proposals. But we never finished that project within economic development because it is wrapped up in a number of different elements that need to be solved all at the same time. Data is one of the issues that economic developers are going to have. Their data isn't always well organized, and it's not always available. But AI is about automating routine tasks, as Ashley said. It's a human focus on higher value work. It's data analytics. It's democratizing what you've been doing as a business for years, using predictive analytics to come to conclusions and draw understanding or develop information into a more useful form. So it's the kind of stuff that you've been doing, only now it's going to be much more broadly available to economic developers to do independently and on their own. So it's AI is going to serve as an intelligent agent. It's going to automate some of the logic and some of the things that we learn from the data, and it's going to make and augment our decisions. So it's a much more personal kind of engagement than when we were dealing with the internet, for example, which was much more about commerce and global reach and e-commerce eliminating proximity. You didn't have to be local to sell anymore. So it's those kinds of things and those kinds of differences that makes AI a much more personal experience and requiring us as economic developers to be much more engaged with it and have a much better understanding of it.
Maybe this one is for Ashley or for both of you, but there's a lot of concern about AI and its impact on jobs. And so, from a local level point of view, do you get those questions as you go out and talk to different groups? Is this going to, take away jobs in our community? Is this going to create this unemployment issue that we're going to have to deal with?
That is a double-edged sword. It's those who leverage AI will be that much farther ahead. So AI is not necessarily going to replace jobs, but those who leverage AI will potentially replace jobs. Those who leverage AI will be that much further ahead. So there's an opportunity here for economic developers. We've worked with one organization, and you know, this particular organization that I'm thinking of, they look at themselves as they have this responsibility to help educate the businesses in their community how to learn AI, how to leverage AI, how to implement. And so that economic development group is the galvanizer, and they want to teach the businesses in their community how to leverage AI so that way everybody succeeds. So it's not necessarily AI taking jobs, but it is AI. How do you implement AI to, you know, free up some of the bottlenecks, to free up some of the time constraints, and how do economic developers help the organizations in their community figure out how to leverage it?
Yeah, it's fundamentally changing the nature of jobs. So it's, there are those who are approaching it as a way to eliminate jobs, many of which are entry level, unfortunately. So it's making it more difficult for people without any AI skills to enter the workforce. But the reality is these are really augmentation tools. They support the individual. As the individual learns more about them, they can do more things and have more time available. As Ashley said, they can eliminate redundant tasks and become then much more engaged in higher value activity. And in economic development, that means more contact time with our investors, more contact time with our target audiences and the people that we serve, because we are a very hands-on service industry. And anything we can do to make time available to work with people could benefit us as an organization. So it's changing the nature of jobs, not necessarily eliminating them, but requiring that we provide skills to help people move up that food chain.
I noticed recently it said that the entry-level software positions are being eliminated in a lot of places. So to me, I'm wondering about what happens when you take away that bottom rung on the ladder down the revenue. You know, how do people get into that software field if the entry-level positions are all now being done by AI? Have you seen any sign of that in your work?
Well, that's a really great question. We had a bigger project that we were working on, and I made the assumption, because I thought it was above and beyond my skill set, that I needed a developer to build this. And thanks to some, you know, a lot of encouragement from the community that we are involved in, I was able to build this project and develop this entire project. I have no coding skills, no development skills, no software skills, absolutely nothing. And I was able to build the, you know, minimum viable project for this. So yes, you're removing the bottom rung of that, you know, that skill set, but now we've got other tools to enable the abilities, if that makes any sense.
It does. I noticed the unemployment rate in the 24 to 35 group has gone up significantly compared to the rest of the unemployment rate. And I just kind of wonder how much that's the result of AI having an impact on those entry-level positions and causing those people to...
I think those are probably other economic factors at this time. You know, companies just can't make decisions based on information we have about the future, given tariffs and other political aspirations that people have. So I think that's mixed in with a lot of different things. AI is obviously a piece of it, but there are some broader economic movements going on that are causing some of that.
What do you see as some of the local business issues, Ashley, that are happening in the community from a local business point of view? What are they running into?
I think smaller local businesses are dealing with some may not even realize yet that this is on the radar. This is something that they need to pay attention to. Others who do realize, you know, this is coming, this is something that we need to pay attention to, They don't know where to start. They're coming to us. We're hearing, what tools do I need to start learning? What do I need to start implementing? And that's where what Eric and I are doing, we are encouraging people to, and businesses to, we do AI audits with them. And so it looks at their business, because I can't look at you, Dean, and say, oh, you, I need to build you a voice bot, and here's why. If I just build you an AI tool, I could build you a great AI tool, but AI will amplify chaos. And the vast majority of small businesses, they have, the vast majority of businesses, let's be real, no matter how big or small they are, there are broken processes, there are redundancies, and you build in AI on top of broken processes, that will amplify the chaos. Mm-hmm. So what we recommend is we will come in and do an AI audit. And this is looking at, okay, you, Dean, as the business owner, this is your company, your goals, the tools that you are using, the tech stack, the goals, and your current processes. And then we do a deep dive analysis and we figure out where are the pain points. What are the repetitive things that you're spending a number of hours on every day? Okay, that's where AI can be implemented to, you know, benefit your business. That's where the biggest ROI is. It's not on, I can't look at any person or any business and say, oh, you need this tool, because it's unique to every business.
That's a very good point you make. And then
the other piece of that, Dean, is parallel to that is training the team and building skills across the organization, not just in little pods of, you know, the tech leader team or the AI team that's going to do the implementation, but trying to teach and build understanding and utilization across the organization. So we've combined not only the audit that Ashley's talked about, but the training piece. And then the third piece of that is the governance. And this is obviously all those three things have to operate together for a successful strategy.
So if I understood correctly, you start out with kind of an assessment process.
Yep.
And then you turn that after a time into a roadmap of what they can do. And then you help them implement the roadmap. Is that so? You have three parts to what?
Yes. Yes. So the AI audit or assessment will uncover what is the biggest ROI. Where's the lever that we can pull that's going to give you the biggest ROI? Because most of these businesses and organizations, the tools and the tech stack that we are using every day, most of those have AI already incorporated. So can we connect some of those tools and systems? Can we use the tools that you already have and unlock the biggest ROI for you? And then it is teaching and training the team, the entire staff on AI. So that way you're upskilling the entire team, not just a person, the person who is into AI and sees the potential.
Very interesting. How much time does that take, that whole process? I mean, what are we looking at? Are we talking days, week, well, hours, more than hours, days or weeks or months?
That's going to depend on the size of the company. That's going to depend on the type of engagement that they want. We could come in and do an AI audit and give them the full report. Okay, these are the levers. This is going to give you the biggest ROI. Here's your three opportunities that are going to give you the biggest ROI. They could say, okay, great, we're going to go implement ourselves. Or if they choose and have us implement, there's going to be a time frame depending on, you know, what that solution is. With the teams and the upskilling, we're doing engagements where it's a 6-month engagement with the entire staff, and we do the AI audit, and it's an audit of the business but also of the people, because the CEOs and the founders, they're going to have different pain points than the administrative staff and everybody in between. So if we do those audits and then we do a 6-month engagement and it's twice a month and it's upskilling the entire team based on their business, their processes, their tech stack, and their pain points.
Very
So
cool.
it's very customizable. It depends on the business and their goals.
A couple of other questions then. Where can people learn more about what you're doing? Where would you suggest they go to? You have a, I'm assuming you have a website, and where can they learn more about what services you provide?
Well, reaching out to us is one way, obviously. We are both pretty visible, and Blaine Canada has been out there on the internet for a long time, so our website is easily found. But our website is undergoing some current revisions, as we're fairly young in this process too as a company, and we're refining the way we look at it. This model that Ashley just talked about, that's all been developed in the last 3 months, essentially. Based on as we've done more training, we've learned more about what clients need and the best way to approach coming to a strategy. So this path that Ashley talked about, that's part of the audit, that's part of the training, that's part of the governance, and all of that wrapped in the goals, that has evolved for us intellectually over the last few months. So that's coming to our website soon. So our website, or just basically reach out to us, is the best way to go forward from here.
LinkedIn, they can find us on LinkedIn. We can provide you those links.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much. I just think you're providing a wonderful service. It's a little bit like, though, what I remember trying to teach people to use personal computers a long time ago. They first of all have to figure out that they need what you have to offer.
As a leader in technology adoption, you and I have both experienced the struggle of educating first, helping them understand why first in order to get them to understand what. So it doesn't matter what the outcome is, it ultimately requires us to do a lot of education up front. And if we're willing to do that, and we have been for 30 years, we did it in business retention. I think Synchronist is still ahead of the industry because of what it was able to do with data, and using that data to forecast a company's value, growth potential, risk, and so forth. That's still ahead of what individuals can do. But now with AI, if they have good, consistent business interview data, they can see much more and get much more information out of that by doing the analysis with the AI tools that are available.
That's
So,
a very good point. So take their existing data and use some of the tools there to look at the pattern within the data.
yeah,
That
absolutely.
makes
Yep.
them. What kind of productivity improvement do you think an organization can achieve as they implement your AI strategy? What do you see? What's the benefit to them?
The benefit is going to be different for every organization. Let's give you one random statistic. I think I read recently that is it 20% of an employee's time is spent looking for the files and the pieces of information that they need to know. So if you think about automating a system like that, you're unlocking potentially 20% immediately, because you've got an organization, this person files something one way, another person files something another way, even though this process is supposed to be streamlined. So you're looking at things, redundancies like that, that can be unlocked.
Yeah, I had an experience, Dean, just 2 months ago. I have one of my side projects is a nonprofit now. I now have a nonprofit called Synchronous Lab, and we work with manufacturers to help them access OEMs, so sell to bigger companies. But in order to do that, of course, you need to raise money when you have a nonprofit, and you know how complicated it is to submit a bid for a SBA proposal. had 100 pages of documentation about how to submit this request for, or this your submission to get their grant funding. I took what was it, Notebook LM. I put that 100-page document in there, and using the AI components of Notebook LM, I was able to much more quickly refine what I needed to understand and what I needed to ultimately submit. So it helped me take a lot of information and really compress it into answering specific questions so that I could get our proposal right. And so I could get all the details that the submission requires, which was 10 different documents, so all those details right in order to be qualified to even be considered. So using that, how valuable was that AI tool to me in terms of that grant application? It saved me hundreds of hours of studying that 100-page document. Not hundreds, but let's say it saved me 50 hours trying to understand all the different pieces of that proposal requirement that they have at the SBA and fit my project into that requirement box. A fascinating
Wonderful.
exercise took me, a week to write the proposal, but without the AI tool, it would have taken an immensely longer period of time. So we use Notebook LM, we use Claude, we used Perplexity, all those in combination to greatly compress the amount of time for a $500,000 request for a budget. So, yeah, there's huge time savings available in various different parts of the organization, but you never know what it's going to be until you start looking at the details of the organization, as Ashley pointed out earlier.
So to wrap up, just to kind of project into the future, let's go to 2030. I like what Eric said when I suggested we take a look at 2030. He said, "If we're still here," I don't know what he was implying about that, but Eric and I are about the same age. So,
Yeah.
assuming we're still here in 2030, what will the world look like in economic development and its application? And Ashley, maybe you should lead that question because I think you're probably more likely to be the one taking us there.
Oh no, I'm gonna let the two of you take this one. I'm gonna let Eric take this one, and then I can follow up.
Yeah, well, 2030 is going to be an interesting time, and I plan to be here. I plan to still be engaged in that process, Dean. But small businesses like ours are going to gain unprecedented competitive advantages. We'll be able to use AI and smaller teams of very smart people that manage a team of agents that are technology agents to do things. So the early adapters, the late early adapters are going to have a real competitive advantage over other business organizations, especially small and medium size will be able to capture some of that. Infrastructure obviously is going to shift pretty dramatically. Massive investment in digital infrastructure is required. We're seeing that happen now. Geographic boundaries for economic development will blur even further. I'll be able to have an economic development organization that serves a broader service territory and does very deep dive targeting for each community within my service territory because, again, of being able to apply AI tools.
We've developed several economic development strategies for organizations using AI
Yep. Yeah.
and
And
being able
you
to.
can replicate that on a community by community basis underneath your economic development umbrella.
Yeah, and we did that in less than 15 minutes in
Yeah.
producing a report. A friend of mine just took a new position down in Louisiana, and I ran off a economic development strategy, but I also went further, went into Perplexity, looked at the trends within the industries that they are suited for, and that
Yep.
generated a target list of companies that were undergoing changes that might find his location advantageous. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
he hits the ground running with a strategy. with a targeted industry list and specific companies to go talk to.
That's and again, you can duplicate that on a community by community basis within an umbrella service territory. So the
Absolutely.
sophistication of the organization at the top becomes much more aggressive, but the services to the individuals become very specific.
Just a suggestion, take a look at the universities too. We recently inventoried the knowledge of Valparaiso University and matched it up to the issues that local companies were having. And then we're able to link faculty to the businesses to help them solve some of those problems, all done with AI. So
That's
interesting
amazing.
stuff. One of the interesting things, Dean, this just came to me this morning, is that you and I have these tools as the economic developer, and our peers will have them, but so will those not in my backyard people. And we will be in a situation where we will be challenged much more directly and with much more authority than we have been in the past, because people will be able to use AI to come up with their alternate economic development strategy for the community and, fight it out with us.
Yeah,
So,
very
it's
interesting.
there could be some interesting times. And that's where the personal relationship of the economic developers and their personal influence, that's never going to be replaced by AI. And that was one of the questions we talked about at one point, talking about, the economic developer can't be replaced, because it's the personal interactions that are the big part of economic development. The strategies are how we get places, but without building the support network to support that strategy, you're never going to be able to move a community. And that's what we as economic developers do. We build that trust, we build that authority, we build a cluster of companies and individuals around the strategies that we're proposing.
Well, I wanted to be sure to thank both of you for this time. And Ashley, I wish you well in your adventure as you move Blaine Canada AI forward, along with the support from your dad. So that's very
Thank you
cool.
so much. It's
He might be more of an, he might
pleasure
be.
being involved with some of the, galvanizers of your generation.
I was at a conference recently, and some young man asked me, "Well, how was that in your day?" And I said, "It still is my day."
Still is. You're still leading the way, right?
That's right. Yeah.
You're
Look at what
still
you're
leading the
doing with
way.
your innovative AI project in Holland in
Yeah, you're
Northwest
nowhere near
Michigan.
done. So it's
No.
an honor to be
Innovative AI,
involved
thank
in
you for
this.
mentioning that. That's been a labor of love too, in terms of trying to educate our community. So it's called AI, it's innovateai.academy, and it's a whole curriculum aimed just at our community and help.
That's so
I'm
important.
looking at the website right now. It's amazing.
Yeah, and take a look at under the cohort, you'll see the curriculum that we've developed for that course too. And part of that, we've also automated our assessment process. So a company can go in and answer 50 questions, and it will give us an assessment of where they are, and it will generate a report back to them and a recommendation of what they need to do to fill the gaps. And then it will take the next step, which is to give us the curriculum we need to use to help teach them.
That is phenomenal. And
Yeah, we've
so,
got a 20 some question assessment that we
yeah.
use to figure out if you're AI ready yet. So.
So again, I want to thank both of you for taking the time, and I look forward to collaborating with you. This sounds like we're both on the same path here, and
Absolutely.
we'll be able to collaborate together and continue our 40-year friendship, Eric. And
Yes.
actually, I get a chance to know you a little better. So
I look forward to it.
thank you, both of you. I appreciate it.
That's all for today's episode of the Whitaker Report podcast. A big thank you to Eric and Ashley Canada of Blaine Canada AI for sharing their insights on how artificial intelligence is shaping economic development and the communities we serve. If you'd like to learn more about their work, visit blainecanada.com. And as always, thank you for listening. I'm Dean Whitaker, and I look forward to joining you again soon for another conversation about the future of economic development. Until then, take care and keep looking ahead.